Just two things sort of converged over the last few weeks. So I'd already been kind of thinking about this idea, and I think the way that I work is that I have my morning devotions, which I do get up very early every morning, very early, and I read and I pray, and as things touch my heart, I try to save bits of, you know, if I see a verse, I think, oh yeah, that makes really good sense, and I'm gathering things throughout every day of my during my devotional time in the morning, and I'll normally have, I don't know, between 3 and 6 different titles. I know Jerry said one time that he doesn't really like titles because he thinks it puts God in a box, but I think God, for the way that the Lord seems to work in my life as I'm doing this out of obedience, I hasten to add, I kind of get a title and then I gather thoughts and scriptures and things that seem to connect and make sense of that to me. And I do feel that a lot of this is because they're things that I'm working on. And then I just pray that if the Lord has laid it on my heart, that there'll be a relevance to other people. So that was already going on in the background. And then 2 Sundays ago, all of us here kind of shared in and witnessed the baptisms of Maria and Heidi, and we listened to their testimonies. And I have to say, and that last song has just a bit undone me a little bit, I'm sorry about that, because it is very, it's quite germane to this sermon. And but listening to the testimonies of both people really, really touched my heart on the occasion, definitely. And it dovetailed well with what I felt the Lord was saying to me in preparation for this message. So the title that I've got for today's message is More Love Equals More Obedience. I think what I felt so strongly when I was listening to what both women were saying 2 Sundays ago was how both of them, over the course of their life, had an awareness that God was somehow there. God was there. And eventually, they each, in their own way, had a first-hand and overwhelming experience of God's love in their lives. They knew God's love. And that ultimately led to that public proclamation and through obedience to baptism that we shared together with 2 Sundays ago. I grew up in a Christian home. I've said this a lot of times when I've spoken, and that's, I have to be careful because I'm not trying to suggest that growing up in a Christian home was somehow a deficit, was a problem in my life, but there are things that I've become aware of now in my old age, which I'm 63 today, by the way. Happy birthday, me. But one of the things that has really struck me is that, well, I knew a lot of children, as I was a child growing up, who were also involved in the church and grew up in Christian homes like I did. And I think all of us, and I might be wrong in this because we can only see things from our own perspective, but in the families that we grew up in, we all knew as kids that obedience was required. Obedience was a real thing. Not only did we have to be obedient to our parents, but we understood as being children in church-going families that we had a responsibility to be obedient to God. And I've never been a rebellious person in my nature. I know a lot of other friends of mine have been quite rebellious, but that was just never me. So I was probably more the other way inclined, where I was, I became quite, I don't know, I don't want to say obsessive, but I felt the need to do the right thing all of the time. I have to do the right thing. And I was overly conscientious, which can be another sort of trap on the other end of the spectrum. It was kind of where I was. But growing up in a Christian home, I've been reflecting on this a lot, and it's hard for me even to articulate, but I feel somehow that God's love was taken for granted. You know, my parents had their first-hand experience with the Lord. They came to know him, and they obviously had experienced his love in their lives, and then proceeded to raise us as children in the church and, you know, reading the Bible and praying together as a family and all of the things that go with being raised in a Christian home. But you can't know God's love as a second-hand experience. You can't inherit God's love, a love for God, from your family. You can't know God's love through the faith of other Christians. There's a poster at a church, a Baptist church, as it happens in Louth. I think they changed it now when I looked the other day, but it's been up there for quite some time. And it was just a big old poster by the church that says, "Jesus loves you." And I know that's kind of a standard way of the church kind of trying to communicate to the outside world, "Jesus loves you." But then I'm thinking, like, which of my kids that go to my school are going to read that sign and think, "Oh yeah, Jesus loves me"? You know, the words aren't enough. I knew growing up that God loved me, but that wasn't the same as having that overwhelming first-hand experience of God's love that has as its response love directed back to him. So I guess what I kind of saw or heard in the messages from Maria and Heidi was, you know, that God is faithful, and he loved those two women, does love these two women, and did right from the beginning of their lives and was part of their lives even before they fully understood it. But our relationship with him is part of a lifelong journey. And it really, and I can say this just from my own life experience, that it's not until you have gone through things and God's love has become so real in your life that you can understand obedience as a consequence of love for him. Love for him. The more we love God and experience his love for us, the more obedient we become, because the thought of disappointing him and grieving his spirit becomes too painful to bear, knowing everything that he's done for us. So Jesus speaks on the connection between love and obedience. We start first with John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, you keep my commandments." Then verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then on to verse 23, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.'" So I think I spent a great deal of my life believing that being obedient is what's required to show my love for God. After numerous tragic experiences in my own life, I finally experienced that subtle shift in my understanding and in my heart. Loving God enables obedience, not the other way around. It was God's love for me and my overwhelming gratitude for everything that he had done to protect me and keep me safe during very difficult times in my life that made me desire to be obedient to him and do his will. As an outpouring of our genuine love for God, we will be obedient to him, because the thought of failing him breaks our heart. This is what happens when we are motivated by love and not obligation. And in fact, we can't even love God without knowing his love for us first. This is John again, but in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then in verse 19 of the same chapter, we love him because he first loved us. And when Jesus says that if we love him, we will keep his commandments, we need to be reminded what he himself identified as the most important commandments. Take this from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 29 to 31. Remember, Jesus had been asked what he believed to be the most important commandments, and he answered him, saying, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So first and foremost in our walk of obedience is to love him with our whole being and to love others as much as we love ourselves. Now God always looks at a man's heart, a person's heart. He knows what we are. He knows we mess up on a regular basis. But do we love him, and are we committed to that love? 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Now, if we think of David in the Old Testament, despite all the ways that David missed the mark during his lifetime, sinning against God and others, his heart loved God more than anything else. God himself acknowledges this about David when he chose him to replace King Saul. This is recounted in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as a king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." There is absolutely no example in Scripture of a human being who has been able to live a life that has not been affected by sin apart from Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Everyone else we meet in the Bible is flawed. God consistently looks into a man's heart to determine whether he loves him or not. Our genuine response of love to the God who accepts us as we are and loves us anyway is what enables us to keep his commandments. And one of the reasons it's so important to be convicted of our sin is that without a recognition of the fact that we are not as we should be, we cannot be overwhelmed by God's grace and forgiveness, which leads to our love response to him. Consider this account from Luke chapter 7, verses 41 to 47. "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. The more aware we are of how guilty we are and how undeserving we are of God's forgiveness, the more love we feel when our sins are wiped clean and are no longer held against us. And this is a daily reality. Each day of our lives, Jesus is there to forgive us for the numerous ways in which we fall short. With every forgiveness, the love we have for him grows stronger. People who claim to love the Lord and are willing and able to disobey his word cannot be the real deal. True love is heartbroken when it fails the one it loves. True love is heartbroken when it fails the one it loves. Think about Peter and his betrayal of Christ the night Christ was arrested and taken to be crucified. Three times Peter denied that he knew Jesus or had ever had anything to do with him. How did Jesus respond when he saw Peter again after his resurrection? John 21:15-17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. We too are called to show our love for him by feeding his sheep. Our love for him drives our obedience. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts will constantly replenish the love we have for him if we keep our hearts tuned to and focused on his presence. So how do we feed his sheep? We feed his sheep by teaching others through our lives, and it's been mentioned already this morning, but think of the word for today about our lives being a letter that we've read over the last couple of days, if you follow that. Teaching others through our lives to love God and to love others. This is what Jesus says to us. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your love realized in our lives does enable us to be obedient to you. Not perfectly. There isn't anything that we're ever going to be able to do perfectly, Lord, but you know our hearts, and you know that failing you and not doing what you want us to do hurts our hearts because we're so overwhelmed with gratitude for everything that you've done for us. We also understand, Heavenly Father, that without the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives, and praise your name, Pentecost Sunday it is today, we just ask that you fill each of us with the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses to you in a way that changes lives, not just words that say something that people don't get in their hearts, but somehow that your Spirit through us will touch the hearts of people that we come into contact with, and they will know that they've had an encounter that they can't forget. Just thank you, Lord, for this fellowship. Thank you for the privilege of having a body of believers who meet together regularly and share life together. And most of all, Lord, we just thank you for your unfailing love. In Jesus' name, amen.